Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brennan, with my SEC, my Gona Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man. We are currently in the dog day, Shane.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's getting hard to talk college football right now.
Mike, I don't want to get the cart in front of the horse, but shout out to Cousin JP getting us together with Coach John Summerall tomorrow. That is right. We're going to have him in studio, and so be looking forward to that. Don't know exactly when we're going
to
post.
Wait, he's coming to your house?
Yeah. It's that big of a deal. And by that, I mean virtually, obviously. Oh, okay. We're not that close, right? I'd go to Florida, this cold weather, you know what I'm saying? But he did not invite me to the house, the palace. Maybe he's just, you know, he hasn't had a chance to get furniture in there yet and everything. I get that. I understand. So, but no, look forward to that and look forward to, you know, just talking about them Florida Gators tomorrow. So it ain't going to be all slow news moving forward. It's not. We're not going to run out of list anytime soon, though.
Yeah. So are you nervous?
No, not really. Okay, actually, I've really looked forward to this one just because, no offense, but there's just some coaches I've just never really liked. And I'm not going to, well, I guess you can kind of put two to two together, but John just comes across as a football coach, man. As one, like, I could literally see Summerall as like one of my high school coaches growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, he fits that image. And so it's going to be, hopefully he ain't going to have me running laps or anything, but I am looking forward to talking to him.
All right. Well, now that you've put that out there.
Yeah.
Who would be like the opposite of that? Like a coach that you don't respect. Of course, we're talking former SEC coach. Like a former, we're like, they're like, hey, Shane, I'd love to talk to you. And you're like, nah.
Nah, I ain't got time for you now. Oh, that's a great one, man.
Maybe Butch. You
know, well, I mean, those are obvious. Camp. Those are kind of obvious ones, you know. I say more real, more recently, Hugh Freeze. You know, and I don't know if maybe you've rubbed off on me here or something, but it seems everything's fake from that guy moving forward. You know, even, you know, the Instagram clips, you know, it's like, come on, man, you know, you put this front up and, you know, I think that would probably be at the top right now. If I'm picking a fresh list.
Okay.
Is there any, like, you're like,
no, I'm just thinking, I feel like you would have. You were all in on Auburn a year ago.
Yeah, I would have. Yes, last year, right? But I would have tried to get him to open up a little bit and be real.
You could have talked golf for him for an hour.
I know. Maybe that's, I'm jealous because he's golfing more than me right now.
I don't know. I think maybe even Kiffin.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I mean, I don't. Yeah. I just think he's fake as hell.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a coach. He's gonna win big. But Ole Miss needed me more than I needed the, you know what I mean? Remember all that?
Get the fuck out of here. I get you. Yeah, I would say current coaches, I'm in on all of them. You know, any of them want to talk. In fact, I'm going to try to make a little bit of a car wash run at this thing and see if we can't get some more coaches on here. But Mike, you know what? If I can't, you know where I can get somebody to talk to me?
Where's that?
Our buddies over at Tennessee Legend Distillery. Come on. They're always willing to sit down and have a conversation. That's right. If you're in Sevierville, I'm telling you, I feel like everybody's here. Saw the snow this weekend. Take it with you. That's what I say. Take it with you. But before you leave, take some Tennessee Legend with you as well. These guys are absolutely awesome. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only going to get a discount, but you will get a bonus gift. They've also got a location in Nashville. So if you can't get to Tennessee, probation will not allow it. Be sure to tell your package store. They got to get some of this mail to them, and we can make that happen as well.
That's a good one. Yeah, I mean, that's you don't want to break any laws out there. You know what?
Yes, yes. That's what we always say in Smoky Mountains. You know, you come on vacation, you leave on probation. You
know? Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Hey, well, speaking of that, Shane. Again, we got to get fired up here.
Yeah.
Because we just found out we're getting SEC football sooner.
Yeah.
Because Mizzou, Shane, they're playing peanut butter. I'm going to have to update this thing. It was scheduled for Saturday. Now it's going to be on a Thursday. So
yes.
This is becoming somewhat of an annual tradition for the Missouri Tigers. I think it's smart. You know, again, peanut butter, who cares? But if it's the first day of game,
yeah,
we're going to be locked in. We'll probably do a watch party.
Yes.
We'll have a lot of people in here, and we'll just fall in love with the new quarterback, Austin Simmons, just like we did Bo Prabula after he whooped old Central Michigan or whoever the hell that was last year, raked them over the coals. We'll be all in on Missouri, and that's what you want. If it's your first game, it's got to be a you know, if it's going to be a cupcake, get it on an unusual time slot so we can all, you know, you can get that spotlight.
Yeah,
I think it's a hell of a move for Mizzou,
Mike. And it could always be a good thing or a bad thing, right? If you come out struggling, then they're going to tune you off. They're going to say, "Well, this is not Mizzou's year." But if they come out here swinging, which they should against old peanut butter, I feel like yes, we may be saying, "Is Austin Simmons is he a sleeper for the Heisman?"
Shout out Cousin Derek. He says, we'll have Mizzou in the playoff by halftime.
Oh, you know it. You know it.
Again, so that's good news. We got a little bit of bad news, though, Shane.
Oh, no. Don't say injury. Don't say injury.
Well, no, not injury. But okay. Oklahoma got some disappointing news. Linebacker Owen Heineke appeal for another season has been denied by the NCAA. Courtesy, that was first reported, George Stoya, the great Stoya from Sooner Scoop. He came on the show, talked all about it. But basically, if you missed that conversation, he played lacrosse at Ohio State for 15 minutes, and they're counting that against his clock. So doesn't look like he's going to be back. He's likely off to the NFL. I mean, he's already training to go. I don't think he was too optimistic, but, in a time, Shane, where we're getting 6, 7, 8 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
And a Heineke can't get a season because of 15 minutes of lacrosse, it seems kind of corrupt to me.
I'm right here with Mike, and he needs to sue. I feel like this one, man, is a little bit, this is a unique situation, right? I mean, it's almost like me getting in trouble for playing intramural football at the University of Tennessee. That's what it feels like. You know, that should not count as eligibility. They're doing it for some damn reason, and I absolutely hate it. So I hate it for the Sooners. But like you said, you know, maybe it's a blessing in disguise, right? You never know what's going to happen. What would have been worse for Sooner fans is if there would have been an injury, right? So now he has a chance to go on into the NFL, make some money for his family. So good luck. We could still root for him.
Yeah, it's just, it's corrupt. That's what I have to say, I mean, Shane.
Absolutely. Now, if he had an Ole Miss jersey on, I mean, would he have got it? Huh? If he would, if he was in a little podunk town, you know, and had a jet. No, I'm joking. I mess with him.
Well, you know who's not messing around, Shane?
Who's that?
We had Beamer speak today.
Yes.
Let's get to the bottom of this. Jacarius Peak injured, left tackle. What is the deal with playing basketball? Remember, we were giving him a hard time about playing basketball. I think Beamer hurt us.
Did have an injury last week to Jacarius Peak. Unfortunate, certainly. He will miss spring practice. He will not be fully cleared in the summertime, but we fully anticipate him being ready to roll when September rolls around. He's in great spirits. Just communicated with him before I walked in here, and knows that this is an opportunity for him to be even better as a player, mentally, physically, as we go into the 2026 season. Yes, he was, or he did sustain his injury playing basketball, the same 3-on-3 basketball tournament that we've done 3 years in a row now. that unfortunately or fortunately we haven't had an injury in 3 years, and unfortunately had one this year. We do team bonding activities in the off season. 3-on-3 basketball is one of them that we do as a team, along with some other physical competitive activities. I, as the head coach, believe in fostering that team camaraderie. I believe that we get a lot out of it. It's fun what we do as a team, but it's also really beneficial for us as coaches to be able to watch these guys compete, whether it be in wiffle ball or dodgeball or beach volleyball or all the different activities that we're doing, along with fostering that team team camaraderie, team bonding. We'll continue to look at how we do things going forward. There's no question about it. I don't think we're the only football program in the country that has 18 to 21 year old young men that play basketball in the off season. I know there's other football programs. I don't know what their policies are, but Clemson, Duke, North Carolina, there's some other ones that have actual basketball courts at their football facility. So maybe they're just telling their players they're only allowed to play horse in the off season. I don't know, but they come to my house, they play basketball in the driveway. If they weren't playing basketball in a 3-on-3 competition as a team in an organized setting, I have a hard time believing that they wouldn't be playing basketball other places. So it stinks and it's unfortunate. Jacarius is in great spirits, like I said. We want to be smart and make sure we have a healthy team when we get to the season. But I also can't just put these guys in bubble wrap and hide them in a closet down the hallway and then bring them out on September 5th and be ready to play for Kent State. There's things that have to happen in order for us to be our best as a team on and off the field when we get to the first game.
You can if he's a left tackle. You can. You can bubble wrap the shit out of him. If he's protecting your potential Heisman candidate back there, yes, I am okay with him not participating in the 3-on-3 infamous basketball tournament.
Yeah, maybe we have, you know, Sellers, Dylan Stewart, left tackle. Peak. You know, these guys are like all-time refs or something. You know what I mean? We can't have him out here getting injured. But I do like the fact that he said, well, Clemson, North Carolina, Duke. I mean, these are elite programs here, Shane. They all play basketball. It's like, do they do it at Ohio State? Do they do it at Georgia? Do they do it at, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they do, but
I think we see this, right? We see it pop up all the time. What's worse, I think, is when it's off the field. Like, this was organized. It was with the players and stuff. But, you know, sometimes if it's a, you know, out and about type thing, then that's even worse. It's like, golly, how did he? I saw one. There was one. He was playing rec ball. So, you know, just shooting ball with whoever.
But I think it's fair. I think it's fair to question all this, Shane, because, again, these guys, not all of them, but a lot of them are making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And I don't have a clue what Peak is making, but given that he was rated as the top tackle, considering Carolina's desperate to protect Lenore Sellers, I have to imagine he's making a lot of money. And with that, I think comes responsibility to be healthy. You know, again, team building, I get all that. I don't know. I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but is any Carolina fan going to be, you know, are they going to be touting the chemistry if we go 4-8 again or 5, you know, 5-7, they're not going to give a shit about that. You know, if you're paying these guys all this money, I think we need to not be putting them in situations where they get hurt.
I agree, man. That's why I double step down steps, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've got to that
you're
point.
Too you, valuable. We can't
I,
lose
I'm
you.
Too valuable. I know. Football season's 200 days away. You know what I'm saying? I got to be ready. And I can't be just running down the stairs like I used to. I'm not that guy anymore. You know, I've got to take my time, make sure there's a handrail involved, you know, some sturdy object, not just a weak little wooden one. But yeah. Because I value this show, Mike. I value our future. But Mike, I will say this on the flip side, right? You never know, right? If apparently if this has been going on for 3 years, well, there's been two successful years of hoops that we didn't know about, right? Unless that's where the running backs were last year. I don't know. Maybe Maybe that's what happened. I don't.
But hey, so speaking of this, all this got me thinking, Shane.
Yes.
So what I've done here, and I haven't put it in order, so I apologize. I'm working that out as we speak here. What I have done, I thought it would be interesting to look at the career snaps for every single SEC team on the offensive line in 2026. So this is not returning, because again, I don't even know the value of that these days. When I do that, people just get mad. Well, what about the transfers? This, that. So now I'm counting transfers here. Yeah. So I'm counting how many snaps have you had in major college football, every SEC team. I've looked at how many snaps they've had on the offensive line in their college football career. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I have them ranked from most to least. And this may blow you away, Shane. It's, you know, it's bad right now. Carolina, our left tackle's injured.
Yeah.
And again, they've said it there. You know, we anticipate he'll be back, but he may not be. Mm-hmm. But either way, great news. And this stunned me, Shane. This stunned me. I like triple checked here. I'm not great at math, right? But South Carolina's got just over 10,000 career offensive line snaps on the roster in 2026. Damn. And that may not sound like a ton. Nobody else in the SEC, Shane, has 7,500.
Oh.
So, I mean, Carolina, by just looking at career snaps, far and away the most experienced offensive line in the Southeastern Conference in 2026. Does that surprise you? And what does that tell you about what could be accomplished here with the Gamecocks on the offensive line this year?
Well, you know, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I was out on South Carolina. You know, there's part of me that says, well, it's an even year, you know, where in this kind of seesaw that Coach Beamer's had here the last few seasons. But, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I didn't feel like South Carolina, even though they had some of these players coming back, was going to make a huge impact in 2026 until that portal opened up. And I say it now, I'll say it, you know, then. I feel like South Carolina said, hey, we are going to fix this offensive line. And you were right. They went out there, they got experience, they got a lot of bodies. And yes, we're down a left tackle, but I don't feel like it is as detrimental in 26 as it was in 25. So, yeah, this was the biggest problem. You can't run the ball without an offensive line. You can't give Lenore Sellers time without a good offensive line. And not just in September, Mike, October, November, when you get late into the season and one of these guys get banged up, two of these guys get banged up, do you have somebody can step in and not have a noticeable drop? So, yes, that's, I guess, was the silver lining for me with the South Carolina Gamecocks was the offensive line.
Yeah. So, again, over 10,000.
That's a lot. I didn't realize it was that many.
Far and away, most. And a lot of that's via transfers now.
Yeah.
But, again, I think that's what you need. You need experience. Mm-hmm. Guys that have played it at this level and have had success, because our coaching – Our coaching career depends on it. Uh-huh. Our star quarterback depends on it. We have got to get this man protected. So, again, just a little nugget I picked up that I think there's a reasonable case that Carolina could be underrated. Appreciate you, Derek. He said, do y'all expect Carolina to surprise people with a veteran offensive line? Shula being gone. I mean, plus right there. You know what?
Sheila's still getting strays. I like it. yeah, because I feel like, brother, that we're going to see a noticeable bounce back from South Carolina offense because of it. So I probably would nix the rest of the basketball schedule. I don't know if that's in there, but at least let my offensive linemen find something else to do as a team bonding act. I mean, we all like buffets, right? Just take them there, you know, fatten them up a little bit more.
All right, then number two, Shane.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of these are kind of similar. So, I don't know if there's much to glean, but again, I just I just did this. The biggest takeaway is at the top and then at the bottom here. But we'll get to the bottom here in a minute. Arkansas, Shane. 7,240. So they're second most in the entire SEC for offensive line career snaps. So shout out old Silver Fox getting some veterans here. Now these are, you know, transferred from Memphis. Again, these are Division I. This isn't FCS. This isn't JUCO. This ain't high school snaps we're counting here. We're calling Division I offensive line snaps. So Arkansas, 7,240, number two in the SEC. I'm hoping that this is going to translate to, you know, some success for South Carolina, some success for Arkansas right out the gate.
Yeah. I'm trying to have success, but I'm trying to figure out what's with all this cookie talk in the comment section, you know? But, Mike, Arkansas is another one similar to South Carolina, especially I feel like with a new coach, too, is, you know, to make life easier in the Southeastern Conference is having plenty of big uglies up front. And that's on offense and defensive side. I mean, we've got to talk about them at some point as well. But for Silver Fox to do exactly what he wants to do and what he was doing there in Memphis, man, this is going to be a balanced attack. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to have some push up front. And I'd like to see Arkansas do that again. It's been a long time since they had some hogs up front.
Yeah. And then, all right. So again, this stunned me, Shane. This stunned me. Maybe McElroy's right. Maybe Kentucky's going to the playoffs, Shane. Shout out Kentucky. Third most career snaps on the offensive line on the roster in the entire SEC, 7,075. So, again, this is vastly via the portal.
Yeah.
New players, new system. So, again, this is not – I'm not ranking the offensive lines in terms of, like, who's the best, who's the worst. I'm just career snaps. So, we got Kentucky third. And if nothing else, Shane, I think we have constructed a veteran offensive line that we expect to compete immediately at a high level in this conference with a new quarterback, new coach, new offensive coordinator. It ain't going to be easy, but
yeah.
I at least like the fact that Kentucky went out there and got a ton of veterans on the offensive line.
I'm trying to decipher, you know, is this just because we got new coaches? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little different with South Carolina because Beamer's been there for a while, but now we've got a third team here in the mix, Kentucky. I did not think – I mean, obviously, you know, there's some – I mean, they stole one of Tennessee's boys. You know what I'm saying? There's
two of
there's
them. Some,
well, yeah, we won't talk about the other one either. I guess we probably should, right? Yeah, they came down here, got our backups, went up there, and they got plenty of reps, but I joke, but not really. Yeah, I do joke. I feel like Kentucky is another team. I mean, they're going to be big, too. They got some big boys. Is this the big blue wall? Or are they going to kind of kick that off? Or do we retire all of those nicknames that we had under Coach Stoops? I'm trying to figure
that
out.
No, I think we keep the good ones.
Okay. That's a good one. That'd be a fun one, too, right?
And then this was also a surprise to me, Shane.
Yeah.
The only other SEC program with at least 7,000 career snaps on the offensive line. I already see Emily in the comments saying, oh, buddy, I don't know how we're going to be on the offensive line. Well, they loaded up with experience. So the last one is Auburn, 7,016. So these are, again, mostly transfers.
Yeah.
They're basically all transfers, and most of them are the Bulls. So Auburn Bulls here. Again, they know the system. They know the coach. They're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone that is returning zero starters to rank fourth in the conference in career offensive line snaps in the Southeastern Conference, I think Auburn could surprise some people.
I like old Steven up donating when we talk about Auburn, trying to get us distracted. You know, anything positive for Auburn, Steven up pops up. I appreciate that, cuz yeah. I worry about this one just because Golis did say we need to pray for him. So, you know, we brought a lot of, quality snaps back, but are they quality? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to weigh that. It's tough to weigh a South Florida football team schedule compared to an SEC, but
you are so hung up on this. This bothers me to no end. We just saw Indiana win a national championship.
Yeah.
You know yeah. what? And I don't think this ain't 10 years ago, Shane. We're like, well, this ain't the SEC. Hell, none of these are SEC. I don't think Georgia, if you put Georgia's team 10 years ago in the SEC, I think you'd say, well, God, this is the weakest depth in the SEC. You know, it's just different. I mean, who the hell stays? These are all, we just saw Diego Pavia rip the SEC to shreds. Mm-hmm. He's from New Mexico State. We just saw Joey Aguilar throw it all up and down. He led the SEC in passing.
Mm-hmm.
He played at Appalachian. We just saw Trinidad nearly win the national championship. Right. He played at Ferris State. We've got to get out of this. Is this SEC? I don't think this is SEC. I mean, we could even go down Auburn's schedule here.
Yeah.
I mean, how many guys on Florida's SEC? I mean, this is John Summerall now. I mean, he's bringing in all kinds of guys.
Yeah.
This ain't Spurrier at Florida. Tennessee, same deal. I mean, their defense is Penn State's defense. Are they SEC?
No.
LSU, their entire team basically is transfer. Are they SEC?
Right.
I mean, we could just go on and on and on. I think we got to get away from. Well, if you did it, you didn't do it in SEC, it don't count.
Well, that's what I was looking. I'm looking at the portals that are coming in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what we're going to be comparing it to.
Right.
Is like, where did they play? And I mean, here's one, Stanford. I mean, golly, on three. Never mind. You know what? It ain't worth it when I got to go through five fucking ads, you know? I'm transferring out on three right now, you know?
Hey, I'm not even lying. I went there to read an article today.
Yeah.
You would not guess how, just ballpark it, and the number's ridiculously high.
Yeah.
How many ads I got on one on three article?
Three?
18.
18 ads?
This, I swear to God. I can prove it. I took a screenshot.
Man, I just can't. Mike, is this a good time to run our ads here?
Brought to you by.
I don't like the pop-up ones, and especially when the clothes is like moving around, and it's just like, you know what? I don't even care anymore. I was just curious, right? I think that's what we're going to do is snap count. Look, this is what we all do. This is what SEC homers will do. All right, yes, the snap count's high. That's great, but where did they come from, right?
Yeah.
Why were they recruited to South Florida as opposed to Florida University? So there's going to be some of that, but there are some outliers, like you're mentioning, because look at the NFL draft, man. Have you ever – or better yet, you know, I like watching when there's an NFL game and they're introducing each other and you're just like – there, you go through the offensive line. Yes, there are some Alabamas. Yes, there are some Georgias, you know, but then there's some South Floridas. There's some Arizonas. There's some, you know, it's like more often than not, they're spread out almost evenly through the other schools. So yeah, you're just trying to catch the best five, at least, you know, and maybe getting more snap counts is the way to do it because you got more to filter through during spring and fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just trying to give you something to think about.
I know. See, this is what you do, Mike. I'm out. I'm in. I'm out. I'm in. No wonder I need therapy.
And I don't know if any of this translates, right?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to present the information. I'm just trying to do it in a unique way, trying to give the cousins some information. And speaking of it, so mostly these next two I've kind of tiered.
Yeah.
Because they're mostly homegrown. So maybe this is more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But Missouri's next, Shane, 6,995 return a career offensive line snaps for Missouri. So they're on the upper end. A lot of returners, way more than Carolina, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Auburn. So if we want to say the program that returns the most SEC, it's probably Missouri.
Yeah.
And this is what you want when you got beasts like Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts, and you got a new quarterback in here with massive potential. If I'm a Missouri fan, I'm feeling pretty confident that we got the big uglies to protect these guys and to clear running lanes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, right? That's I guess maybe this one right here is the one off. Because I know obviously they landed some in the portal, but it wasn't talked about how many offensive linemen Mizzou pulled down, right? But you pair that with arguably the best running back duo in the country. Brother, man, this could be a scary front. This could be exactly what Drink wants next year.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then, again, similar, right behind them, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. 6,919. And they've had a couple transfers.
Yeah.
But still a lot of young talent. A lot of I believe two outstanding true freshmen from last year are back. So that's why their number is deceivingly low despite returning a ton. Mm-hmm. And they added the Arkansas transfer Harris. So again, he counts here.
Yeah.
And he's got SEC snaps. So Oklahoma, if you want to say pure SEC snaps, they're probably right there. They may be number one. I haven't broken it down quite like that, but in Shane only respects SEC snaps. If that's the case, then Oklahoma's number one.
Number one, right? Number one. And they got a running back, new running back coach. Yeah. Watch out now. Watch out for them Sooners.
And then you got to watch out too, Shane, for who's up next. Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tennessee.
We got rid of snaps. We're like, get the hell out of here.
6,633 career offensive line snaps for the Tennessee Vols. That's great news for whoever the quarterback's going to be. That's great news for Bishop, outstanding running back. So, again, Tennessee should be pretty good on offense yet again, dependent on the quarterback, of course. But just knowing that they've got the experience up front, I think that's going to be massive for Heupel and company.
Oh, yeah. Let's going back on. Hey, Bruno's even excited. Yeah, calm down, man. We're gonna be fine. We are gonna be fine. Sorry about that. We get excited when we talk about Tennessee around here, man.
Heck yeah. Do you get excited though to hear Texas right up the rear here? Shane, 6,364. Now they've added a lot via the transfer portal. They're bringing a lot back too. So this is not one where, not entirely back, not entirely transfers. It's a mix. Similar to Tennessee. That's kind of why I grouped these together. But so, again, Texas, they're hoping and praying this unit is going to come together. This was the question mark last season. So over 6,000 career offensive line snaps for Texas. I think this is significantly better than they were last year.
And honestly, the biggest surprise for me, because that's one thing I always hear from Longhorn fans is like, hey, if we figure out this offensive line, you know, you've got, like you said, you got some experience coming in here. And if they can mold that five, then brother, that's the linchpin, ain't it? That's the only missing piece here. If they get that damn figured out, then Texas may win it all. So that's just kind of where they're at. And I think it's kind of alarming if they're this high. I thought they would be lower.
Well, I thought would be a little bit higher, Shane, LSU, their next 5,892.
Yeah.
Now, they are almost exclusively, not exclusively, but almost transfers, all transfers.
Yeah.
So, again, I thought LSU would be a little bit higher, but they've added a lot of high-profile guys. They do return a couple.
Yeah.
It's not all transfers, but LSU's right there. A&M's right behind them, 5,782. They are also one returning starter, and all the rest are transfers. So LSU, A&M. Let me ask you this way. Which one do you got more confidence in as a program to field a better offensive line, given that LSU and A&M they're kind of similar? I believe each has one returning starter, the rest are transfers, and the snap count is, again, we're talking 100 off here. Which do you have more confidence in being better on the offensive line next season?
I think A&M. If I'm having to pick it.
Shout out Cousin Rick. You're saying that for him. You know what?
He gave us
$200 last episode. Of course you were going to say A&M.
Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. I'm surprised they're not at top of this list, you know? The Maroon Goons are back, baby. I love all the fat nicknames. You know what I'm saying? Just bring them all out.
And then, again, I don't know what there is to take away, but I'll just share these real quick. Ole Miss, 5,332. So, again, not that dissimilar. Florida, 5,192. Mississippi State, 4,781. And then here's what really surprised me, Shane.
Yeah.
Georgia's incredibly low, 4,656, but every single one are returners. They're the only one in the SEC that has no transfers on the offensive line counted here, and they did sign three incredibly talented freshmen.
Yeah.
So again, they are 14th in the SEC, which is not great, but they're solid on the offensive line. They bring everybody back, and they got a bunch of freshmen. So do you think it's a mistake at all that they didn't bring in anybody with a little bit more experience via the transfer portal?
I mean, we're talking Georgia, right?
Yes, sir.
We're talking back-to-back SEC champs, Georgia. Yeah, I don't think there's any mistakes, right? I mean, I felt like the growth, the maturation. Hey, like that word, Butch Jones. Ooh. From the what I saw year prior to 25. I feel like they were moving in the right direction. And yes, they're going to be at the bottom of this list, but that's some legitimate snap counts, right? And we thought that would be kind of a weakness coming in this season. At times, I thought it was a strength. So I just can't wait to get old Rusty Manziel on and get to the bottom of this, because nobody knows him big uglies quite like Rusty does down there. But I don't know. I feel confident. Kirby knows the landscape, and I feel like if Georgia wanted to get some more, they could have got some. They could have been at the top of this list with more offensive line, but they chose not to. So that makes me think more that Kirby's happy with what we got.
Yeah. And then Vanderbilt, 15th, 3,330.
Yeah.
So they're pretty far down this list. A lot of guys just out of eligibility. They run a unique system. And if you recall, all offseason, Shane, they were at the bottom of this list like this last year when it comes to offensive line, returning production. And I said, I don't know if you remember, but I said, hey, the system they run, it's basically triple option.
Yeah.
Out of the shotgun. You can get away with not having elite offensive linemen.
Yep.
And obviously they did it. Now, can they do it again? That's going to be a massive challenge.
Yeah.
But there's one program, Shane, we have not mentioned. Can you think of who it is? They're dead last in the SEC offensive line snaps career in college football.
Alabama.
Oh, buddy, DeBoer. Oh, no. 2,548. So, man, again, remember, South Carolina's got over 10,000.
Yeah.
Alabama's got 2,548. So, again, is this the end-all, be-all? No, but they were incredibly talented last year, and they couldn't run the damn football. Now, they were able to, you know, get a lot of wins here, but this is yet another red flag, Shane, that Alabama maybe, I hate to say it, but I think they might be crashing here. Again, maybe not. Maybe this means nothing. But the least experienced offensive lineman in the SEC currently hails in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Does that change anything for you when it comes to the Tide?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little bit. But it wasn't just offensive line. I've been kind of moving this way, not because your power rankings, but returning starters. You know, I'm a little worried about competitive depth. But not where I'm not saying, you know, Alabama can't make the playoffs. I feel like, you know, there's a big difference between saying, okay, are they a 9-win, 10-win season? Or are they a 6-win, 7-win season? You know, I still feel like most likely they're going to be flirting with those playoffs by the time November comes around. So, but it does worry me a little bit, right? Returning production is important.
Right. And the schedule, again, we don't want to overlook anybody. We did that last year. We lost right out the gate, Florida State.
Yeah.
But we got East Carolina. No shot we lose to them.
Mm-hmm.
At Kentucky, rebuild mode, but maybe they're better. Florida State, I mean, they're a loss away from firing their coach.
Yeah.
Carolina, we hope they're better. We thought they'd be better last year. They weren't. And Mississippi State on the road. So, again, I'm not trying to diminish any of those teams, but I think – if you're sitting here saying, all right, we got the least experienced offensive line in the conference, I don't know that we could ask for a better schedule to kind of get that unit to gel, so to speak, before we before we really ramp up in the conference play. Do you think that's fair?
That is fair. That is fair. Is it fair that Brodo called Coach DeBoer the butthole, relies on a hoodie to win games? You know, they were just full of they had a little too much gimmicks last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
It felt like we saw gimmick plays. We had the hoodie. It was just, come on, you know, get back to what Alabama's good at, and that's just beating the shit out of people, right? And really, I think of when I think of some of the best Alabama teams, it was because the offensive line. It was because the defensive line, you know, and I know times are changing a little bit, but I really feel like whenever one of these elite programs goes all in on just the big guys, forget the specialties, forget the quarterback even. I feel like if you can control the trenches, I feel like the offense, defense will – there's going to be a team that does it. And I don't know if it's going to be this year.
Mm. Well, you know who does do it, Shane?
Who's that?
State Ultra, go check them out. I took my Ultra to get fired up to do all these stats here. So go check them out. TakeUltra.com is the website. There's a link in the show notes. Go check them out. Promo code THATSEC to get 15% off your full order over at Take Ultra. They got all kinds of flavors, Shane. And you're, what is this Take Ultra he keeps going on about? These are nootropic pouches that you slide into your mouth. Mmm. Buddy, I don't swallow them, but I mean the flavor's so good I thought about it a time or two. But again, I'm firing on so many cylinders over here, Shane, because I got these nootropics.
Yeah.
No nicotine, no caffeine. Get that junk out of here. What you need is some good Take Ultra, promo code THATSEC for 15% off. And
yeah.
If you know it, Shane, if you take it, your offensive line, I promise you they're gonna perform better if they're on this Take Ultra.
Brother, I didn't know what it was going to be like. Seriously, I didn't. When I first put one in, I said, am I going to see through this wall? Because that's what it felt like. Everything just kind of tunneling in. I felt sharp. I wouldn't say rejuvenated, but damn, I was dialed in. And I think I need to put another one in because it's starting to go away.
Well, I'll tell you what, Shane, if you do go right through that wall.
Yeah.
You probably got to rebuild it, right?
Is there a store for that?
Well, not for that necessarily, but you can't rebuild it without your Brett Workwear boots. Go check them out. BruntWorkwear.com/SEC or just use the promo code SEC at BruntWorkwear.com for $10 off your first order over at Brunt Workwear. They got these outstanding work boots that they sent Shane and I. They got all kinds of gear. Shane, I thought we were done with this damn cold weather, but... You know, at the end of the day, as some would say, I don't even mind it because I got my long sleeve gear from Brunt Workwear. They got some outstanding long sleeve T-shirts. We sent Lassen the Assassin a couple. He's living the high life because he went to Brunt Workwear and got his $10 off with that promo code SEC. You can't beat it.
Oh, man. I throw my gear on, hit the Home Depot. Walk around Lowe's, you know what I'm saying? I'm giving direction. I'm like, ma'am, you don't need that. You need this on aisle. I feel like I'm a more of a manly man when I got my Brunt gear on.
Yo, hey, true story. I went to Home Depot yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess this shouldn't surprise me. You know, the world we're living in, and hell, I mean, we are quite literally doing it, so I can't talk shit or anything. But there was a guy who was like loading up his truck.
Yeah.
But he set up a tripod first and was filming it for like a YouTube video. And he got mad at me because I was like walking by and he said he had to do another take for his YouTube channel. Have you ever seen this where people go to Home Depot and like, you know, I guess he's probably doing a home repair and he's like showing what you need to go get at Home Depot. And I'm like, where are we? We're doing this in our homes. We're not out in a Home Depot parking lot. Bothering people to, hey, get out of my shot. You know what I mean? I just thought that kind of blew my mind.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. It happened today. I was doing a video on the golf course for birdie or bogey, And it kind of like screwed up the whole, cause there's three other guys here. And I'm like, you guys go on, I'll catch you on the next, you know, it was a mess. And I feel like I was rushed a little bit. I'm not blaming the bad shots on those guys, but, yeah, it was a lot to do, but it was funny that you mentioned that, because when it first started, if you recall, it was, dances. It was like little dances. These girls had these synchronized dances that they were doing and stuff. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting there at Food City, the grocery store, we're checking out, and I happen to look out, and there's these two girls that are doing like this little dance, like preteen. But then my daughter, preteen as well, starts doing the same dance right beside me. And I was like, what? How do you even know what that is? And that's when I probably should have invested some more money in some of that social media, because it took off. But yes, it's kind of crazy how it's kind of changed a little bit. They call it influencers in the wild, you know?
Oh, it was wild.
And we're kind of influencers in the wild, man.
Shout out Vault Tiger. He says he's filming himself watching us. This channel's probably massive, you know what? I just watch idiots online all day, you know what?
Yeah, I would have been here sooner, but I got held up at Home Depot because somebody got my shot all the time.
All right, hey, last thing I got here, yes. Shane. I just thought this would be fun. I don't know. This just, again, I was on my Take Ultra, I think, and I just got an idea right before we hopped on here. Unsurvivable 4-game stretches next season in the SEC. And I was hoping there'd be one for all the teams.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find them. Oh. I couldn't find them. So I'm doing my best to pick. How many do I got here? I got seven unsurvivable stretches. And I'm just guaranteeing today, Shane, that your team, if you're on this list, you're going to lose at least one of these 4 games in a row. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm glad you... Damn, you've been... How many did you take?
I think I took too many, brother. You know what? But what I almost put on the list, but I didn't. Let me know what you think. So, Texas here. Final stretch here. At Missouri, at LSU, Arkansas at home, at A&M. I almost put Texas on that list. Again, could they beat Missouri and Arkansas? I think they should, right?
Right.
But at LSU, some people got them as a top 5. At A&M, of course, they kind of own A&M. I'm not ready to say, because I don't know how good Texas will be. Maybe Texas really is elite this year. I think it's conceivable that they win all those. I'm not predicting it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to pick 4-game stretches where I guarantee your team's going to drop a game. I'm not ready to guarantee Texas. Would you guarantee Texas loses one of those or no?
No, I wouldn't guarantee it. But okay. But being on the road, right? You know?
Those, it's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's feasible. It's very possible that absolutely they lose one of these, but I can't guarantee it right now. I'm too high on them Longhorns.
And that may not even be the toughest stretch. At Tennessee, yeah. Oklahoma,
I was
Florida,
looking at that one.
Ole Miss. But again, at Tennessee, new quarterback. I don't know. That's again, it's not a gimme, but Oklahoma, they whooped them the last couple. Florida revenge game. I think Ole Miss is going to be the toughest, that or Oklahoma. But I can't guarantee that they lose one of those, even though I think it's highly likely that they. I don't know. Where would you stand on that?
Shit.
Stretch?
I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm like, what if the Ohio State, Tennessee, Oklahoma, you know, I mean, forget the Roadrunners. I know that's not tough, but those are three massive games, you know? Right. Yeah. Texas is loaded up with some schedule this year, but, I can't guarantee it just cause I'm a little too high on them Horns.
Okay. So I started with them.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Bama.
Okay.
And you'll see what I'm saying. I mean, there's even Stephen Up would agree. I mean, they ain't surviving this, Shane. There's no shot. Give me Georgia at home, at Tennessee, A&M at home, at LSU. Mm. No shot, I'm saying, today. Again, I'm not saying they're going to lose all these.
Right.
Hell, if they go 3-1 here, I think they're a playoff lock. but they're not going 4-0. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree. That's going to be a tough stretch.
Yeah.
Because I think all those teams could be in the playoffs. Those are playoff right. teams, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay. Hey, we're one for one so far.
Yeah.
Can't
wait to disagree with you.
I'm going to just gonna go around here. How about Missouri, Shane?
Uh-huh.
Texas at Georgia, Kentucky at home, Oklahoma at home. I guarantee Missouri is going to lose at least one of those.
Yeah, that's fair. Right? Because I think they'll be underdogs in two, if not three, of those games. So, hell, you could have just said Texas and Georgia. I'd be like, yeah, maybe. Yeah, probably going to lose one of them at least. Yeah, I'm right there with you, brother.
Oh, wait. We've got a rebuttal here.
Uh-oh.
Steven up.
Row Tide.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
He says that stretch is doable.
Are we sleeping on Bama? I think
everybody is.
I mean, we went from
overrating them.
We went from decaying dynasty to who are these guys again? You know, it's just I don't know, man. I just feel like I don't think anybody's talking about them. So
nor should they.
Why wouldn't they? Right? I mean, I told Paul this the other day, name drop, that, you know, you remove the name, you remove the logo, you had a team, first year coach, barely missed the playoffs, make the playoffs. I mean, that's progression. And year three, we think, they're going to suck this year. Yeah, they don't have a lot of returning talent on their offensive line, but they do got a lot of talent returning. So I think we may be sleeping on them.
I'll tell you why, Shane.
Yeah.
Because he's had more talent the last 2 years.
Okay.
And he's not delivered.
Maybe it's, you know, cancer in the locker room. Finally got rid of him, you know?
they're the guys that drove Saban getting out of here. I mean, maybe.
They should have played more basketball together because there was no team chemistry on that team.
All right. Hey, we haven't talked much Mississippi State.
Yeah.
On this episode, but I guarantee you, Shane, they're losing one of these. Bama at LSU, Oklahoma at Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they may not win one of those.
Oh, Rocktober. That's going to be a tough month, right? Yeah, I mean, oh, man. At least you got a bye week in there, you know?
Is Jeff Lebby the coach November 7th?
Oh, Mike.
I mean, he probably is, but
yeah, most get fired in November. I would say after the Auburn game. You can't lose the Auburn game. Brother, I don't know, man. I ain't predicting it. Mississippi State's got a tough road. It seems like they always got a tough road. But that little stretch right there is almost impossible. It is impossible.
I mean, it, let's say I'm dead wrong about Alabama.
Yeah.
Which is certainly possible. This could be like four of the top five in the country.
Oh, yeah.
In four games in a row.
Man, if they... We should
now
make a bet.
Now they can win the rest of them, you know, but...
We should make a bet. What if they win? What if they win all four of those games? I will stand... Listen, Mike, if they win all four of those games, I will stand downtown... with a cowbell, because I need to fix this red light anyway, for 4 hours, ringing. Is that long enough? 8 hours? Let's go 8 hours. Let's make a day of it. I got to get a lunch in there.
So I think 24 hours.
I can't do 24. I mean, ringing, constant ringing. Okay, like occasionally, like a Shriner.
You could do like 30 minutes and then 30 minutes.
Yeah, I could do little breaks. Let's say 12 hours. 12 hours. Of cowbell ringing if they win that four-game stretch. Clip it. It ain't happening, but...
Emily says, note that he said stand, not walk.
Yeah. No, somebody's going to drop me off. Hell, I may be sitting down. Let's be really honest here with ourselves. I'm going to have a chair, that I could sit in occasionally.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
Nah, it ain't happening. Plus, my sign is going to say, fix this damn red light. So, long story short, small town that we live in, the railroad came through and jacked up, like, the sensors at this one red light. And I don't even know why we have a red light in this spot. I don't know. But it is always red. Always red. And it shouldn't be on the main street. It's the side ones that should be. And they said they're going to fix it. In fact, the guy that was running for mayor, he came in and I said, dude, I will vote for you if you fix the red light. Red light ain't fixed, but he got my vote, you know, so I'm a little pissed about that.
You put him on blast 20 times on this show. If he ever watches it, he's in trouble.
He lives,
you
know, right behind me, too. I'm going to crack my window so you can hear me next time.
All right, A&M.
Yeah.
Survivable stretch, Shane. At Carolina, which has given them trouble the last 2 years. Tennessee, at home. At Oklahoma, Texas.
Ooh.
Unsurvivable.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is the worst one. I don't think this is the worst stretch. Yeah. I'm not. I think it would be a no.
No. Look at this comment, Shane.
Did it get balder? actually, I'm growing it out a little bit, and I got to trim it up for a coach tomorrow. I gotta get dialed in. So I don't want him to think of this, you know, just a bunch of losers hanging out. You know, This is a real deal podcast right here. Welcome in, coach.
So you think A&M could go 4-0 here?
No, but what is more likely, that they go 4-0 or they lose one? More likely is they lose one.
Right.
But compared to like the Mississippi State conversation we had, I'm more confident. I am not going to make a bet that they win this fork. You know what I'm saying?
Doing the Aggie dance this time.
No. Nothing on this one.
All right. How about this? This one, this may be the most difficult one of all, Shane.
Uh-huh.
Auburn at Tennessee, at Georgia, LSU, at Ole Miss.
Ooh, buddy. Yeah.
Unsurvivable.
Unsurvivable.
Hell, they may not even win one.
No. More likely they lose all the games than win the games.
Well, you mean win eight? Or what are you saying?
I mean, no, I'm saying...
We could say that for literally all of these. I think they're more likely to lose... Every one we've done so far, I think they're more likely to lose them all than win them all.
Okay, what about this one? More likely to lose them all or win two of them?
Lose all of them.
Okay. Can't argue,
but I mean, they could win two of them.
They may. I mean,
but you're saying what is more likely?
Yeah,
like Tennessee could implode, and
could
Ole Miss could implode. You know, again, I don't think so. But or LSU could be massively overrated.
Bold prediction: Auburn goes 3-1 in that stretch, though. Clip it. I'm not betting it. I'm just saying.
How long are you going to ring the bell for?
I don't know. I'm on the Auburn bandwagon again.
I got a
soft
spot
for
this guy.
I want him to be like so mad at Hugh Freeze. Like, I can't believe we wasted all that time and money on that when we had goalish down. Shane's been telling me for 2 years to come get this guy.
All right. Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They have a stretch, Shane. At Texas. Auburn, Georgia, at Oklahoma. That's unsurvivable.
Yeah. No. You're losing. Golly, Mike. They could lose three of them. You know what I'm saying? This is where we could have a serious tilt in a new direction for Ole Miss. Now, they could come out and just, you know, keep doing what they did, 25, continue that streak. But, man. One of the big knocks on the Rebels last year was their scheduling, and the scheduling gods did not favor them this year.
Shout out Derek. He says, Shane, better chance to go 0-4 than 4-0. Also, Shane, 3-1. Clip it.
Yeah, I just got to thinking. I was like, I don't know. There's something about Auburn. I know.
It, all right. Then my last one here.
Shut up, Shane.
Last one. LSU.
Yes.
Apparently, the new God's gift of football.
Mm-hmm.
At Auburn. Bama at home. Texas at home. At Tennessee. I think that's an unsurvivable stretch for LSU.
I concur, Mike. I concur. Can't argue with you there.
I know it's a good list when you can't.
Yeah.
You can't
because
argue.
Because we're not going to have undefeated teams anymore. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I'm praying that we can get 10-2 teams in, that a 9-3 SEC team can get in. And I don't know if it's going to based off last year or the last few years, but that's where we're heading. And there's going to be a lot more of those teams getting dropped. So, yeah, LSU's not going undefeated. And more likely, if they're to lose one, it's going to be in that 4-game stretch.
And I really tried to not pile on some of the teams that I've kind of talked down about. So, you know, here's Arkansas. We can make the case that there's some unsurvivable stretches, but I don't know that they have a 4-game that is like any of the ones we've referenced. Maybe the last month at Auburn, Carolina, at Texas, LSU.
I would say Georgia, Tulsa, A&M, Tennessee.
Yeah, perhaps, but you are the one that always says they've got Tennessee's number. They're going to beat Tulsa.
Hopefully.
So, I don't think there's one for Arkansas, not for me. I think there's winnable games there. Florida, we didn't discuss. Same deal. I mean, Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma is a hellacious 3-gamer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they can beat Carolina or Kentucky. So that's why I didn't put them on the list.
Okay.
Georgia, they've got a hellacious, Oklahoma, but then you got a Vanderbilt in there. Surely they'll beat Vanderbilt. Bama, Auburn, Florida, Ole Miss, perhaps, but
yeah,
they're going to be favored in most, if not all, of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to put them on the list. Kentucky, you know, we can make the case again for them, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't see any 4-game here where they stretch where they can't win at least one.
Yeah.
Would you agree or disagree there?
I agree.
Okay. We didn't do a kind of same deal with Oklahoma. A lot of landmines here. Michigan, then you got New Mexico. They'll surely win that. Kentucky, Mississippi State. I mean, I don't see a 4-game stretch where they can't win one.
Right.
And then we do Carolina, same deal. I mean, it's a hellacious grind here. Maybe Tennessee, Oklahoma, A&M, Arkansas, but I think they can beat Arkansas.
Even Florida. Florida, right. Tennessee, Oklahoma, A&M probably be the one. But can they get – that's the key. Can they – yeah, I could see them winning one. They're probably going to at least win one, if not more.
And then how about for Tennessee, same deal here where they got a lot of tough stretches.
Uh-huh.
But they own Kentucky, so I couldn't go – it kind of knocks that one out. Maybe Texas, Auburn, Arkansas, Bama, but those are 3 or 4 at home. I shouldn't say no shot. Little shot they're going to lose that many home games.
Right. Yeah, now this may be the undefeated, now that you've brought this.
And then last but not least, Vanderbilt. Again, some difficult stretches here.
Yeah.
But I don't see any 4-game stretches where they can't win one.
Right. Can they get one?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You nailed it, Mike. Wonderful list.
You know why?
Wonderful list. Nootropics.
Man. Yeah.
Didn't even know what that word was 4 years ago.
Hey, all right. So you got anything else, buddy, before we hop off here?
No. Look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. Stay tuned. I'll let you know when that interview gets out. But, yeah, brother, I love it. I absolutely love it. We got coaches talking. And don't forget, spring's right around the corner. We got teams going to be practicing for long, and we're going to have some footage, some actual coach talk. So stay tuned. There's never a dull moment with that SEC podcast.
And there's never a dull moment with
Always Showing Up Boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up. He gifted Douglas Drain. Douglas, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy. All right, buddy, so that's all we got on this one. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.